Thanks for listening to the Struggle Podcast, where godly guys are on a journey to define the modern masculine.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Fern here with the guys, Israel and David. We are doing our podcast, The Struggle. Guys, we are missing John Ray, our usual host. So as I fumble around my words, you will learn to appreciate John that much more. We're also missing our brother, Vic. These guys are busy doing their thing, school work and dad work and all those things. So we applaud them for that, but they are dearly missed. Guys, today the topic on the table is going to be accountability. Our insight and our input and our just our experience with that as men in pursuit of Jesus and what it means to us and the things we see and just overall our overall outlook on it. So Dave, is you guys want to kind of chime in and let us know what you see, what you feel about and just in your spirit, what you hear or what you feel when you hear that word accountability?
Go for it, Iz.
All right. For me, accountability just means being truthful, being open, transparent, especially when it comes to my Christian walk. I think that's probably the first time I've ever really heard accountability in this context. But it's so important because I feel like being held accountable allows me. Me and my soul just to be free, to be open and not let the enemy use anything against me, try to keep me down, and also try to help, help others, help my fellow brothers stay truthful and help them in their walk. But like I said, just shining a light on any areas of our lives that are, that may be dark, shining that light that God gives us, or that God shines on us, so we can walk in his path.
For sure, man. I mean, that's totally the one of the best tools the enemy uses against us is when we try to stuff away or keep stuff away in the dark, and the bad thing is that, he'll bring it out, but he'll bring it out in a bad light. I think scripturally, man, when the Bible tells us to confess to one another, it's especially, I think, talking about accountability. There's a power in releasing, things that are holding us back or things that are in the dark within us with our words. And when we speak them out and we release that to someone else, I think that's one of the greatest tools that the Holy Spirit gives us, and so holding each other accountable, holding ourselves accountable, knowing that we have brothers that we can go to share these things, I think is an important aspect, because there's some things that, that would scare our wives or would scare our fiancés or girlfriends, whatever the case is for you guys out there. Because, deep down, I think, women rely on the strength and the sternness and the protection that is inherent in men through the patriarchy, through the good patriarchy. I think the patriarchy is getting a real bad rap out in the world today because there's a lot of jerks out there that aren't taking the responsibilities that come with that term. They're not taking them seriously. They're not taking them biblically. As I think, if we look at the patriarchs in the Bible, they were shepherds. They were protectors. They were providers. They were compassionate. They cared about the people around them. And that's the true nature of who we are as men. That's the true nature of the masculine. The world has taken that, and the devil has taken that and placed in the world a fake identity about masculinity. And it's that whole macho and machismo that we see out there. The men who try to dominate women and children, that's the fake patriarchy. That's the fake masculine. It's toxic. And I think part of accountability is you know, the good men in the world need to stand up and start sharing these ideas of what the true strength of masculinity is and start holding those other guys accountable. I think that's a big part of what's missing in the world today, especially in church culture. You know, we tend to see ourselves, I think, as more, you know, because of the teachings of Christ, we're a little bit more what you would consider submissive. And you know, the idea of loving your enemy and turning the other cheek, that sort of thing kind of gets confused and taken out of context when it comes to this idea of holding men accountable. So I think that's a big part of where we need to go going forward as men, as godly men. Fern, what are your ideas?
Man, just to kind of piggyback off what you're going with there, you know, the opportunity that's kind of hidden and kind of gets lost in translation a lot of times, the opportunity for growth, really owning that, on the other side of accountability, of course, there's the hard part, the swallowing the jagged pill and the putting down your pride, breaking down that wall and receiving what is being said. You know, of course, it's being said from a good place and being said out of love. On the other side of that, there's an opportunity for you to really grow as a man, you know, as a man the way he designed us, he of course being God, just really fulfilling that. There's such a huge opportunity at the other side of that, but sometimes just putting down the pride and getting around our egos sometimes that's hard enough that we miss out on that. But it's paramount, man, for those of us who are really in pursuit, you know what I mean, of a relationship with Jesus, you know, because ultimately if the fruits of our relationship with him are to be true, it needs to be, like the word says, less of us. Right. And more of him, you know. And I don't think that can be really achieved. You can't excuse me, you can't die to self without accountability. You can't let the old man go, the old you go, without accountability. There's just no way.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it really is you know, one of the fruits of you know, of our of the Holy Spirit working within a group of men, is that there's a natural and kind of free flowing accountability that everybody kind of rises to, and it's like you say, man, it's paramount in the idea of growth. I was thinking about it, you know, in terms of leadership, you know, and holding people accountable in those terms. And one of the things my wife likes to say about that is that, you know, in leadership, when you hold people accountable to their jobs, you know, or to what they're supposed to be doing, you really, it's beneficial not just to the leader and not just to the mission, but it's really beneficial to the team, because when everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, it lightens the load for everybody else, because we all know there's the Pareto principle always at play. 80% of the work is going to get done by 20% of the people. But a good leader, I think, will look at accountability and hold people accountable to their position and to their jobs and to what they're supposed to be doing, so that the workload is spread and nobody's carrying somebody else's burden. Do y'all have any experience or anything like that that you'd like to touch on or talk about?
I totally agree with that. You know, as far as it being a true leadership trait, you know, seeing that in my right now in my current job, you know, my boss, I think he does a really good job of you know, distributing the workload, but he knows the strengths. He knows the strengths of his workers, and he knows that there may be one or two that kind of, you know, drop the ball or don't pick up, don't pick up the slack as much. Mm-hmm. But he does a good job, I think, of putting it out there, you know, of not so much calling people out right directly. I'm sure he's spoken to them at some point. I'm sure he has, right? he's not belittling any when we're having our weekly meetings and discussing what needs to be done. Does a really good job of talking about it, of establishing it, and then just making sure the work gets done
and
okay. So I agree.
Yeah, I like that. You know, like, that's a sign of a good manager, a good boss, and, you know, having those hard talks. You know, that, of course, that's crucial. I mean, in order to hold people accountable, something I've kind of experienced here lately. If you're telling somebody something they want to hear versus something they need to hear, you're not doing them any favors.
And you're not doing the team any favors
at all. How do you say the standard's not being met. The whatever standard you're trying to establish, it's just non-existent at that point, because now now the standard moves, and if it moves, well, it's not really a standard,
right?
just being honest, just being truthful. And I think whether it's a workplace your coworkers or your employees, if they're working underneath you, they'll appreciate that, man. Because I forgot what study it was that we did, it was a podcast as well from Pastor Craig Rochelle, and he says that people don't necessarily want to follow somebody who's always right, that they'd rather follow somebody who's always real. And sometimes that means having those hard talks, you know?
Yeah,
sure. Not that I'm trying to get into anything politics, but, you know, we're seeing the effect of what accountability or the lack of accountability, you know, in our country right now with our current president, you know, the celebrity in chief, certain allegations, all types of allegations that popped up against him, and instead of confronting them, he tries to throw a wrench in there. He tries to throw lies. He badmouths whoever is saying it. The people under him are they're crumbling. You know, his team is crumbling. So I think that's a prime example of when it's not a good leadership and not being held accountable for their actions. And I mean, there's consequences for that eventually.
Yeah. I think the key, you know, with accountability as a leadership principle is that the leader needs to hold themselves accountable. And when that's not happening, you know, you're setting, like Fern said, you're setting the standard of excellence. Leaders are always setting the standard of excellence. And if you're not a leader that can hold themselves accountable, be it to the work or to the ownership of problems or to the, you know, ownership of solutions, then, or if you're the type of leader that only holds themselves accountable for solutions, you're weakening that standard of excellence, because the standard of excellence is not that everything is perfect. The standard of excellence is that everything is, we're shooting for perfect. And that means that if we're shooting for it, then there's going to be problems, and we have to own those problems. We have to acknowledge those problems. We have to, hold ourselves accountable for those problems. And if we do that, then people realize this guy's not blowing smoke. He's not hiding anything behind the mirrors. This guy's real. This guy wants to get to the next level. He wants to take us to that place of excellence. He's owning the problems. And a lot of times, you know, the best leaders you'll find are the people who own the mistakes and the problems that their subordinates cause. They don't blame the subordinate. They don't, you know, blame shift. They own it. They say, you know what? I'm in charge of this department. I'm in charge of this process. I dropped the ball. I didn't make sure, you know, that I was looking at the process right and making sure that my people were, you know, were doing the job. And, you know, if that's the pursuit of excellence and the definition of the pursuit of excellence, then we have to realize that as if we want to call ourselves leaders, we take that on and we do our best to try to not only own, but and then work towards the solution and move towards excellence. And so that's, you know, in terms of accountability and the idea of accountability in our lives, I think there's a big lack of it in the world today. I think part of that is because, you know, we've shifted our mindset away from things that are and have been true for centuries and centuries. You know, we don't look at the, for example, at the Proverbs as we should. You know, the Proverbs are very clear, very concise about, and it's probably the best book in the Bible about accountability because, you know, the Proverbs tell us, you know, the truth about our lives in very clear cut and concise ways. And, you know, I think that's a big part of what's missing in the world today is that, you know, people want convenience and people want to be politically correct, right? Because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But accountability and holding people accountable is not, if done properly, doesn't hurt feelings. It actually lets somebody know the why behind the what and lifts them up to the occasion to become better. And they see that and they know that. But that can only happen again in a relationship where you know each other's heart and you trust each other. And so, you know, that's a big, you know, we tend to go to the in the world today because I think everything is moving so fast. We go to these are the five steps that you can take to accomplish whatever goal you want. And we're missing the core principles of character that are necessary to be, you know, not only to lead, but just to be good people in the world.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? I know we've mentioned it. You guys have mentioned it a couple of times. You know, the word pride, man. That word pride, I think, is something also, you know, that's that we see a lot in the world. You know, I, to a certain extent, pride is good, right? You know, you appreciate you appreciate, you know, the things that you have accomplished, that one accomplishes. But, you know, like Fern said earlier, you know, when it starts getting into the ego, you mm-hmm. know, when you're feeding your ego and, you know, you focus more on yourself, you know, I think that's when it starts to get dangerous, you know, and pride is just it's something that like you said, David, you know, about the machismo, you know, as far as in men, just, you know, not letting go and not just holding on to something. And it's not even real, you know, whatever they may be holding on. I mean, yeah, it's real to the sense that you've accomplished certain things. But knowing where that, you know, where that strength and courage and knowledge came from, you know, who gives it to us, you know, that God gives us that sense of, you know, that the strength to accomplish anything and everything. It's just I see it, you know, we see it so much. It's just it's sad sometimes, you know, that. Like you said, men who don't, you know, who treat their women and children, you know, like crap, you know, they don't, they just won't let go, you know, it's just sad.
I think it's like a control. It's not necessarily a control thing. It's more of a fear thing. You know, I think so much of that, you know, I think dwindles down. If you look at the core reason, it's a fear. And it's a fear because there's so many men, I think, in the world that were never taught how to become men. And so there's a lot of unfinished men who, you know, who stopped growing in their 20s and stopped realizing what it was to become a man in their 20s. So much of it, you see it all, you know, you don't have to look very far to find it. Fern, you got any closing ideas or closing thoughts?
Again, I guess with the accountability part of it, man, I guess we kind of touched on it, but I guess just to put a little bit of an emphasis on it, it's a two-way street, receiving it and then delivering it. And I think the receiving part of it, man, just being careful who you allow to pour into you, who you allow to correct you, who you allow to hold you accountable. I believe in the best relationships are amongst those who are equally yoked, not just with marriage, you know, but as far as, you know, a friendship as well. You can have friends, of course, who maybe aren't believers or aren't in the world, but are they going to be the ones that you allow to pour into you? I think amongst, you know, us here, part of this group, the main thing, we're all very much individuals, but we're all also in pursuit of Jesus, you know. So it's easy to accept and to receive correction because there's that common goal. And you're not going to say, you're not going to lead me astray from what God's word says in the name of accountability. Mm-hmm. And in the same token, like you said, man, going and barking at somebody, hey, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not doing that right, or you're bad for this, or accountability and judgment. It's two different things, you know.
Yeah.
Does this person know you? Does this person know your heart? Yeah. Does this person know? I mean, because here, I think it's just being honest. Mm-hmm. We've had some heated discussions with each other. We've had some heated debates with one another, but it was usually. For the most part, man, it was to get us, one or the other, to see either a greater potential in ourselves, to get us to recognize that we were either doing something that didn't glorify God, so you know what I'm saying? But because we knew each other's hearts, because we knew what we're coming from. And we knew that, you know what, I mean, I just want the best for each and every one of you, as you do for me. And yeah. If that means calling me out to get rid of some crap, to, help me get rid of something that's just not glorifying God in my life. And it's going to benefit me, it's going to benefit my family, and it's going to benefit my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, there's that understanding there, you know what I mean? And... You know, it's not impossible to find that. It's not impossible to achieve that. I also just want to say, like, finding people whose opinions who are exactly like yours also probably ain't a good idea. You know what I mean? Like, if my accountability partner was exactly like me, oh, man. You know what I mean? Like, if I had a doppelganger, like some, like, you know, clone of me out there, God forbid, and he was my accountability partner. Bro, that wouldn't be well. I mean, having a difference, I think we're a very well diverse group of men, and we're able to see things from different perspectives, and just helps us kind of get an overall picture of each other, and then this crazy little pursuit that we call life, man. You know.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point about about holding people accountable and making sure that they know your heart and you know. That they know, where you're coming from doing it. I just kind of want to throw this out there. How would you handle, for example, in a coworker, you know, somebody that you know, you joke around with, But you don't, you know, you don't necessarily hang out with him. He doesn't really fully know your heart or your Christianity. How would you handle the situation, for example, if he comes up and he starts sharing with you that he's cheating on his wife?
That's kind of crazy, because that's not like a, that's not something like I have to really dig too much on, because it actually has happened with a coworker, former coworker of mine, and exact same situation as you just spelled out right there, David. It kind of happened. They had also kind of been involved and engaged in some conduct sexually, man, that just really brought a lot of poison into their marriage. And as a byproduct, he kind of engaged in another relationship with another woman, and kind of he was just kind of doing his own thing, man. You know, he was just kind of being, and you know, he kind of came with the intentions of, and you know, he came to me and he trusted me with this for a reason, I believe, you know. I've never put anybody down, or never like really kind of dog anybody for any of their trash or any of the stuff that they would share with me. You know, it's just who, you know, stuff they're going through. So he brought it to me, and kind of in a lighthearted way. And man, just for me, that, you know, adultery is just not something that I'm that doesn't have a very good place in my heart, you know. So I really do not. It's just one of those things that I kind of like, oh man, it just irks me. Yeah. So, and I remember telling him, like, bro, what are you doing? Like, what are you thinking, man? Like, he had been in and out of church, and in and out of church. And at the time, we were actually going to the same church, different branches, different campuses, but same church. He said, dude, you know better. And, you know, the conversation was just very short and blunt, because the details were not necessary with this man.
Right.
He knew the details. So it was short and sweet, you know, just kind of because he knew better. The words were very minimal. I mean, look at Jesus' words to Peter: "Get behind me, Satan." That's all he needed to say. And whereas when he spoke with the sinners again, you know, he was very compassionate and very detailed with his explanations. But because he knew better, you know, than this guy, because he knew better, man, don't give me that crap. Basically, yeah. don't try to feed me stuff you feed other people, and feed yourself maybe to make yourself feel better about it, or to make it seem like it's not that big of a deal. Bro, you know better. End of story. You know.
Yeah. How about you, Iz?
Yeah, actually, I had a similar situation with an ex-coworker of mine, but he wasn't cheating on his wife. He suspected his wife was, you know, talking to other guys or a certain guy. And I asked him if he really cared for her, then he would. First of all, I told him, I said, two wrongs don't make a right. So don't feel like you need to, you know, go and do the same. Even though I think he kind of was toying around, but I don't think he actually did anything. But, I just told him to put what he expected out of the marriage, and to ask his wife. And I believe his wife was kind of hesitant to open up, but eventually he said they did, and they worked it out. And so it was just about being being upfront with everything. And I think that's why I mentioned earlier about, you know, just putting it all on the table, because like I said, the devil knows, he knows many things. He knows scripture also, but he doesn't know our hearts. And he knows that God is, you know, if God truly lives in us, and he won't be able to get in. And they ended up, working it out. And last time I talked to him, you know, he said things were going really well. So it was a good talk, but I just remember kind of always still feeding that into him, like, be honest, you know, be honest with her about what you're feeling. Try to get her to open, you know. Never giving up.
Yeah, I think that's important role that we need to play as godly men out in the world, and you know, in our workplaces, in our schools, and is when those subjects come up, and we don't use it as an opportunity to skirt the truth, that we speak, you know, truth to power in those situations. Of course, we do it respectably. And we do it, you know, in privacy. Of course, you don't want to call out men, other guys, when there's other guys around, that sort of thing. But definitely something I think that, you know, I think more of us need to put into practice, especially when we see, you know, that there's a guy that's about to go down a road that is going to destroy, just a selfish road that is going to destroy his family. You know, and I think we need to be more vigilant about looking for it, because you know, how many times have you found yourself in a situation where you find out, you know, there's a you have a coworker or you have a friend that, you know, they've been married 20 years and all of a sudden the guy does it, you know, ends up cheating or whatever, and you know, you never saw it coming, but were you really looking? So just being a little bit more discerning, you know, for the signs of it, where hopefully you can intervene and stop something like, or at least allow the Holy Spirit to work through you to stop something like that from happening. But we're about the 30 minute mark. We're a little bit over. It was a good talk today on accountability. Enjoyed it, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Great talk. And I think we could go on forever.
Yeah, we probably could. But you know, we did, our panel was a little small this week. We're missing a couple of guys, John Ray and Vic. But hopefully next week we'll all get together and have an even better discussion. Thanks again, guys. We will see you guys next week. Keep an eye out for the continuous posts. We're going to try to do these weekly, having a lot of fun doing it and learning some things too, I think.
Thanks for listening to The Struggle Podcast. Make sure you follow us on all major social media platforms at The Struggle 361.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.